another one. And I looked at that one, I thought, until last night I was prepared to look at Psalm 62 and looked at my records. I'd actually shared this with you in January of 2019. But maybe not. I'm going back to where I started for a reason. And the songs we sang this morning confirmed that for me very nicely. Sorry, move, please. Have you noticed on the news how miserable the world is? If you want a laugh, it's not the place you're going to go looking for it, is it? I've been watching and getting quite annoyed, actually. For example, I heard one of the weather readers say, this is midsummer, it's been the hottest day for a year. That's because it's midsummer, and midsummer last year was hot as well. What makes it so bad? You know what I'm saying? Every time we turn around, it's something new. Now, a sociologist in the US wrote just this week saying governments around the world and the media are designing news to make us fearful. I thought, that fits. That fits. But we sang this morning, our God reigns. And that's something we must remember. Now, I've got no doubts that the world is heating up, but I'm fairly certain it's heated up before too. But my God is still in control. And that's what I want to share with you. And what really struck me as interesting, I had a quick search through the Psalms to look for any references to my God reigns, or the Lord reigns. There are three psalms that begin with that expression. Three. So I'm going to start with Psalm 93, then we'll go to 97, and then to 99. So I hope you're ready to read a bit. Only three psalms that begin with the Lord reigns. But each one of them is different. So if I just read the first line of each one, okay? Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. 97, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. 99, the Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. So they all have a different emphasis, but they all begin with this same glorious declaration, the Lord reigns. And whether we're in the midst of a drought, which in Perth, well, southern suburbs of Perth at least, we are, the Lord still reigns. And whether there's war in different places around the world, which there has been forever and ever, the Lord still reigns. And whether the cost of living keeps going up, which it does, the Lord reigns. So that's what I want to talk about. The Lord reigns. He's in control. We are in the palm of his hand. And Lord, we need your help this morning. Help us to learn this principle, to learn this truth, not just to hear it and to say it, but to have it sink deep within our hearts and our souls, that we might be absolutely convinced that at all times and in every circumstance, you reign. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. The Lord reigns. Let me read to you Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. I might have said that once or twice already. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. Now the seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. What it's saying is the Lord reigns. He has reigned forever, and he will reign forever. He is in charge. Regardless of what the opposition may be, the Lord reigns. And even sometimes, as believers, we might doubt that. It doesn't matter. He is robed in majesty all the time. He is armed with strength. Now, I like what Charles Spurgeon said about that last comment. He says, strength always dwells in the Lord Jehovah, but he hides his full power often until, in answer to his children's cries, he puts on strength, assumes the throne, and defends his own. There are times when we pray and we don't seem to see the response that we want, when we want it. And you're like me, you pray, Lord, I want patience and I want it now. You know, but he still comes through every single time. He puts on strength. He doesn't always appear before us as the mighty one. Sometimes he comes as the compassionate one. Other times he's there as the faithful one. But when it's necessary, he strengthens himself and comes to our defense. His throne is established in eternity. It's immovable. That's Psalm 93, verse 2. Opposition doesn't concern him. Creation, it says in verse 1, the world is firmly established, Psalm 93. Creation is immovable because of his dominion. Now, you know this passage from Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's in charge. The Lord reigns. He dominates the forces of nature. Remember the disciples in the boat when that storm came up? Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. And they woke him up saying, don't you care that we're about to drown? Stupid question, really. But they're human. And the Lord sat up, looked around and said, peace be still. And the storm stopped. He controls nature. It's his. It's not something he has to work with because it's going to happen whether he wants it or not. He is in control. He speaks the word and it happens. And the disciples said at that time, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey him. Strongest forces of disorder are like nothing to him. He is in control. Spurgeon again says, he whose indisputable rule has made the world secure has given his people life directives that are stable and reliable. We are safe in his hands. He's unchanging. His truth doesn't change. And as the psalm begins, the Lord reigns. Exclamation mark. And if I were going to write that down now, I would put 7 exclamation marks after that. The Lord reigns. Psalm 97. Let the earth be glad because the Lord reigns. Verse 1 says, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Now it gives us 4 reasons for rejoicing. You don't just rejoice for the heck of it. There's a reason for it. First of all, verses 2 to 5. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. He is mighty. He reigns because he is mighty. Verse 2 and verse 6. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And in verse 6, The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. He is righteous, he's just, he is fair, he is, do you remember we were saying it? Slow to anger and abounding in what? He's abounding in love, he's abounding in mercy, he's abounding in glory, and he's on our side. Psalm 97, verses 7 to 9. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Oh, I love that. Zion hears. Is that right? Yeah, Zion hears and rejoices. And the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. I think we sang that this morning too. My only hesitation with that is you've got to make sure there's a small g on gods because they don't exist. All right? So I refuse to pray things like, Lord, you are greater than all the gods. There are no other gods. He said there are none. I know of none. So he's the only one. Therefore, he reigns. He's active on behalf of his saints. That's us. Verses 10 to 12 of Psalm 97. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Have you ever been in a situation where it's obvious that the Lord has acted to deliver you, to save you? And at that moment, you're thinking, yes, the Lord reigns. I was on an army camp once. It was just an exercise. It wasn't real battle or anything. But a guy was loading his rifle with blanks right next to me. And he leant the barrel. I think I've told you the story. He leant the barrel against a wire fence. So I'm bending down here, doing whatever I was doing. He led his rifle there and it started sliding in my direction. So in panic he grabbed it, but where do you think he grabbed it? On the trigger. Now, it's only a blank, it's not a real bullet, but you know that blanks are still pretty powerful. I felt that blank cartridge go through my hair. I was delivered. You got other stories like that? I know you do, because the Lord does this for us. He's on our side, and he delivers us. The psalmist says, let the earth be glad, because he is awesome. He is over everything, and the time will come where every knee will bow before him and confess that he is Lord. Oh, I've got so many scriptures here. Let me just pick one of these. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, you know, I happen to believe that. Yeah? So I can watch the news and all the rubbish that I see there and think, it's okay, it's okay. Yes, that's a bad situation, but the Lord reigns. He's in control and he will deliver his people one way or another because he cares for us. And we willingly bow our knee before him. But there will be those who don't do it willingly, but they do it when they see him whom they have pierced. He's the Almighty. And all will bow. Therefore, those who are his people can exult and be glad. And we sang, I exalt you. We can have confidence and peace Because of his power? Yes. Because of his promises? Yes. But more importantly, because of his character. Who he is. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. I'm going fast. You with me still? Let's go to Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Well, I knew that bit and you knew that too, didn't you? Well, you'd expect that a psalm that begins, "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble," would begin with some sort of reference to power and judgment. But it doesn't do that. Let me read it to you, the first verse. "The Lord reigns, the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake." Remember when they built the tabernacle and then later the temple, they had the cherubim and their wings touched over this certain spot, which is where God made his presence known. What was that spot called? You may not remember now. As soon as I say it, you'll know. It was called the mercy seat. The mercy seat. Let the nations tremble because God's mercy's seat. Oh, that's one reason why the nation should tremble, because they have rejected the God of mercy. In verses 2 to 3, "Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy." So the nations tremble because God is a holy God. Of course, those of us who are perfect in every way, that's a joke, by the way, in case you missed it, we are not. But we have received his mercy. So we are seated with him in heavenly places. Yeah? That means if we're talking about the mercy seat, we're seated on the mercy seat. And whose wings are over us in that particular illustration? The cherubim. The angelic host aren't there as our rulers. They're there to serve the heirs of salvation. The angels are there to help preserve us. His holiness. Third, verses 4 to 5, "The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy." He loves justice. Our Lord is just. Now, this is really interesting. "You have established equity." One of my jobs at the moment, I'm semi-retired. I try to be retired, but it doesn't always work. But I'm the part-time administrator of a brand new college. If you want to look it up online, it's called Sparrows College. And we have a couple who are wealthy business people who sponsor the students. Our students pay no fees. So we're talking up to a master's degree. So if you're doing an undergraduate degree, a bachelor's degree in ministry, it means that our sponsors are paying for every student we get, they're paying $60,000. Why am I telling you that? Well, I can't really remember, but it was the point I was making. He loves, equity. So a part of my job is writing policies. Anyone else have to write policies? Can you think of a worse job in the world to do than writing policies? But one of the policies that Australia is big on at the moment is equity. Everyone has to be treated equally. It makes good sense, doesn't it? The Lord establishes equity. He's the one who brings us together. So, for example, in Revelation, when you read about the multitude of people worshipping the Lord, they come from every tribe, every nation, every language. We're from all over the world and we're all singing the same song. I don't know whether singing in different languages or we all learn a new language. It doesn't really matter. We're together. There's an equity there. And he treats us equally. And even the best governments in the world don't do that. They might say they want to, but we don't always see it. His justice. How does that cause the nations to tremble? Because so often the nations are the opposite of just. That's number three, by the way, in case you missed that. Number four is answered prayer. Verses 6 and 7. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. The Lord answers prayer. Now, I'm going to embarrass you, so please don't indicate anything here. You ever been in a prayer meeting recently when someone says, by the way, you know, we pray for so-and-so for let's say, healing, and the Lord's healed that person, and everyone looks surprised. Whoa! The Lord answered prayer. Oh, hang on, I shouldn't be surprised about that. That's what I should expect. I go to a prayer meeting every Tuesday morning at, it's supposed to be 10 o'clock. Sometimes it's 9:30. Sometimes we don't actually start praying until about 11:30. But it's called a prayer meeting. And we keep a book, a list of people we're praying for. We decided we're not doing the Lord's a service here. Let's add another section to this book, answered prayer. And every week, okay, what answer prayer have we had this week? And record it. So we can look back. We need that. Sometimes we're a bit forgetful. The Lord hears and answers prayer. Now, I wish that there was always an audible voice. Wouldn't that be lovely? Well, maybe not. I mean, Daniel saw an angel and fainted. So if we heard an audible voice, I wonder how many of us would be upright. The point is, though, he does answer. Sometimes it's like a still small voice. Sometimes it's like our own voice in our head. I've worked out a principle for that. I tell students all the time. I work out a principle. How can you tell whether it's God speaking to you or just your own dreams? It's real easy. If it makes good sense and it's smart, it's probably the Lord. If it persists and doesn't sort of drift away, it's probably the Lord. Because I get these bright ideas and half an hour later I can't remember what it was. You with me? Yeah? The Lord is in control. The Lord reigns. He answers prayer. We go down to verse 8. Our Lord, O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. He forgives. I'm having the great joy of reading Jeremiah at the moment. If you want to feel happy, you don't read Jeremiah, do you? What a miserable book. But all the way through, the Lord's going to give Jerusalem into the hands of Babylon. But it's okay. He'll bring you back. There's forgiveness in the Lord. And that's so important. Because I don't know about you, but I know that I've sinned, and I'm sure I've sinned more than I'm aware of. But the Lord is forgiving. The nations tremble because they don't know what forgiveness is. Should we refer to the exchange of missiles in the Middle East in the last day or so? No one's forgiving, but the Lord does. He forgives us. The Lord reigns. And number 6, verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. We need to worship him. Okay. A lot of people have talked about what worship is. So we worship this morning. We sang songs in worship, yes? But that's not all of worship. If that were all of worship, we worship one day a week. I mean, come on. What's worship? Well, it's, let's break it down to the old English word, the origins of our word worship. Worth-ship. He is worth our praise. That's worship. How does that work? How do I worship most effectively? I know a guy who worshipped beer. How do I know he did? He told me one day, you know those big bottles of beer, those big brown bottles? He's drinking one of those with each meal. And he told me he's not an alcoholic, he just drinks one bottle with every meal. I said, no, mate, you're not an alcoholic. You're a religious drinker. He was worshipping something by acting with that on a regular basis. The basic message of worship is doing what the one we worship does. So if the Lord is a forgiving God and someone offends us and we forgive them, that's worship. That making sense? So we copy what we see and hear, and that's how we worship. Even the songs we sing, they all have to do with what the Lord is like, his character. And by singing it, we're basically saying, I want to be like you. That's our worship. And the world again doesn't know about that. But our God reigns. Rejoice because able to do what he has promised. Tremble because he's done everything possible to save mankind. And if that's rejected, there's no other hope. Now you remember this passage. It's John 3:16 and 17. I'm going to add verse 19 in just to sort of round it out. But verse 3:16, you know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, which is what the people expected. He didn't do that. He sent him to save the world through him. Verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Wow. Hebrews 10:26-27. Whoever wrote this. By the way, no one really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. Probably the majority would say it's probably Paul. My wife tells me that nobody really knows, but if it was one of Paul's disciples, she did a really good job. Oh, that, yeah, that's a joke too. Hebrews 10:26-27. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. The Lord reigns. The nations tremble. Three psalms, all beginning the exact same way. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. It's a general expression of his dominion. Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad because he's able to keep his promises. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble if they dare to reject his gracious and merciful provision. Psalm He is, in fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the righteous and just. He's the faithful and true. He's the merciful and forgiving. All these are contained within these three Psalms. The Lord reigns. Let that be our automatic response when we hear or see or experience something that's negative. It's okay. That's a terrible situation in that country over there, but the Lord reigns. He's going to bring everything to an end. And those that have trusted in His grace and mercy will enter into a time of peace. And those who have not and have rejected Him will no longer be here to bother us. Let's make sure that our lives reflect the One who reigns and rest in Him. Father, we are so grateful. You have done everything so incredibly well. We rest in You. We think about the nation of Israel being delivered from their captivity and following that glorious cloud, the bright light, the cloud by day, one to light the darkness, the other to shade them from the sun. And they followed. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped. When the cloud moved, they moved. They were worshipping You. And I know that they didn't realize what they were doing. But that's it. We want to be those who follow You. We want to be those who worship You, who do the things that You do to bring glory to Your name and to declare that our God reigns. Thank You for this, Lord. We are so grateful. We honor You. We uplift You. We submit our lives to You. In the midst of our darkest days, You are the glorious light that shows the way. And we thank You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.